today on Real Radio.
The Lord says, you know what? You have a great mind. You're analytical. You love numbers. And I've got a plan for that in my kingdom. And it may be an accountant at IBM. And you are to grow there. You are to be an evangelist. You're to be a Philip there. God has given you that gift. Use it there. Use it to the fullest. But use it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Church on the Move, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the acts of the apostles of Jesus who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into the world to share the gospel message of salvation. In the message called A Witnessing Church, we were introduced to the apostle Stephen, a man full of the divine power of the Holy Spirit who was always ready to be a witness for Christ. But at the end of Acts chapter 7, we see how Stephen's testimony cost him his life. Now from Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, we're introduced to a Pharisee named Saul, a man who is so tormented by Stephen's zeal and conviction towards Christ, he makes it his mission to destroy the church and imprison all those who believe the gospel message. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that persecution can happen when God wants to prompt the church into action. And just like the Apostle Philip, who left Jerusalem to preach and heal the people in Samaria, we are to follow wherever God leads us. And now, continuing his lesson called A Church on the Move, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Jewish culture is interesting. When somebody would die, if you really loved them, you would go down and literally rent mourners to weep for that person. And if you really loved them, you would really dole out the bucks to get some loud mourners and a lot of them. I'm not making this up. And they'll even do it to this day. It's a show, and they know it's a show, but that's part of the deal. It's a show. And so, you know, hey, I really love this guy. I really want you to belt it out. Here's $20 and be there. And they do that. That's it. And they're just wailing and crying. And they're right. And it's really sad. You know what? You know who's got it down right? Have you ever seen a funeral by a lot of the precious black believers down in areas of the South? And especially Louisiana and all of that. Awesome. Man, when a brother dies, when a sister dies, they're crying, but they're dancing and singing songs of joy when the saints go marching in, and it's a celebration. That's what it's supposed to be like when the Christian dies. Yes, we sorrow because we're going to miss them, but lucky stiff, they're in heaven. Want to be there. They were lamenting. The church was under persecution. God had to push them out. I heard a story. This week, there was a rich billionaire in Texas, and he was taking some business students from the University of Texas there and was taking them on a tour of his mansion and everything, and he was very proud and telling them, and this is that, and this cost me this, and this is how much money I have. And some of the students said, how did you make your billions? And he said, courage. Courage, that's how. So they walked into this one room, and they have a beautiful indoor swimming pool. And he says, you see that swimming pool? Yes. That's totally man-eating, alligator-infested swimming pool. Why do you have that in here? To make me remember about courage, because it would take courage to go into that pool. And that's how I made my billions, and that's a reminder to me. In fact, anybody who's willing to jump into that pool, I'll give $1 billion to. And everybody chuckled and just thought, wow, that's awesome, man. That's incredible. And we have to remember that in our business. And we need to have courage like that. And they began to walk out of the room with the billionaire. And then there was a splash. And they looked at the pool. And this guy's swimming across the pool. And he gets on the other side. And the billionaire walks over there. And he goes, young man, that was an incredible display of courage. I have to tell you right now. He goes, I'm a man of my word. And he pulls out his checkbook and his pen, starts to write a check for $1 billion. And he goes, tears it out and hands it to the young man. Fine display of courage. Do you have anything to say, young man? And he goes, I sure do. I want to know who pushed me. And the Lord pushed the church out of Jerusalem to get the gospel to the other parts of the world. Verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. This word havoc in the Greek means to, the word in the Greek literally means to shred the flesh. It's the word used for a boar, a pig, a boar. Not a boring person, but a pig who's a boar. To tear flesh, that's the meaning of the word in the Greek, to just rip up the flesh. You know, I have relatives who are really, they're into bow hunting, you know, big deal. Big bows, you know, and it's like really dangerous because they don't go after poodles, they go after big stuff, you know. And the story is if you wound a boar, you're in big trouble because he's not happy about it. They go into a stark, absolute nut rage if you wound them. You better kill them or don't shoot at them at all, but don't wound them. It's like a wounded bear is worse than a healthy, mean bear. And so if you wound this boar, they'll come right after you and they'll destroy you. They'll shred your flesh. That's why there's deviled ham. They just go insane and they act nuts like that. They go crazy. And that's the word about Paul, that he was in a rage. Why? And I just searched this, and the only thing that I could see is Paul went into a rage, or Saul went into a rage at the stoning of Stephen. He was right there. He was the witness. He was the one with the jurisdiction over what was going on. Why did he freak out? I think personally, when Stephen was going down, remember what he said? I see the heavens open in the glory of God. Saul wanted that. This guy was an achiever. He wasn't about to have somebody possess something he didn't have. He saw the conviction in Saul, Stephen's life. He saw the commitment. He saw the zeal. And Paul, he says of himself, was more zealous than his native Jews until he met Stephen. And I think it drove him mad. I think he saw that conviction and he saw something that he wanted. And the only way he was going to get it was by yielding his life to Jesus Christ. He goes into a rage. And he goes against and attacks the very church that he would soon lead. It says in verse 3 that he entered every house and dragged off men and women, committing them to prison. And he was brutal and angry, and he did these things. Now look at verse 4. In verse 4, we start really what's point 2, and that is the promotion from the inside, verses 4 through 8, promotion that comes from the inside. Not only is there promotion from the outside through persecution, but God is now going to promote from the ranks from within. Verse 4, therefore, you ought to circle that word, therefore. Therefore means verses 1, 2, and 3. That's what it means. Therefore means because of the persecution, this is what happens. Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere preaching, heralding the good news. Why? They were scattering. They were in that diaspora. They were moving. They were throwing the seed as they were running into foreign places where they had not been before. They were on the move. Verse 5, then Philip. This is a great guy. Philip, we first met in Acts chapter 6. He's one of the seven waiters, the deacons of the early church. What a deacon ministry they had. Stephen was the one guy. Now Philip, this guy, excellent evangelist. It says that he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. That's amazing. Philip gets up and he goes. Persecution, listen, happens so God can get us up to go. And he'll even force us if we have to. God will use the shovel to scoot us along in verses 1 through 3 to share the news. And once that begins to happen, in verses 4 through 8, he'll even do it from within. He'll speak to us. Listen, if God is speaking to you, obey him. It's much easier that way. Oh, I don't want to. Well, God loves you so much that he's going to push you. He'll give you a little scoot. So listen to him. Follow him. Philip gets a prompting from the Holy Spirit. Hey, why don't you go down and preach? All right. He goes. I love this guy. He'd rather try than not try at all. I respect that. There was a woman that came up to me not too long ago, and she said, you know what? I feel really bad because I signed up for the the children's ministry, and I really thought the Lord was leading me in that direction, and I tried for a whole month, and it just didn't work out, and I don't think I'm cut out for it. You know, I feel bad. I go, why do you feel bad? There's 1,000 people sitting here that maybe haven't even tried yet, and at least you tried and you found out. Look, this lady knows something that you and I don't know, and she knows that she's not supposed to be in the children's ministry. Gosh, I keep saying women. Maybe she's supposed to be in the women's ministry. She knows that with the ministries in this church, she's not to be in the children's ministry. You know, that is to be respected and that is to be applauded because she stepped out and it didn't work. And so she backs up now and knows, well, gosh, I guess I don't go that way. But a lot of people just, well, I'm not going to step out at all because I might find out something. So I'm just going to sit. And we need to be careful about that. Jesus is concerning those that he's invested talents into. They buried the talents and sit on it. And when the Lord comes back, he wants to collect what he's deposited in your life. And we don't give him anything. We don't move at all. We're afraid we might look stupid. You know, that's absolute pride and arrogance. We walk about and think that we're so humble. We're not so humble. We want to think that we're humble. And if we think that we're humble, that shows how prideful we are, because we're proud because we're humble. And if we're proud because we're humble, we're not really humble at all, but we're proud. We're to do. Now, God doesn't need you to build his kingdom. He allows you to build his kingdom, but he doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He can replace us in a moment. He gives you and I the opportunity to invest. If somebody came up to you and I right now and they said, hey, look, you know what? If you spend $500 right now, I will guarantee in writing that you'll make $15,000 in a month off of this investment. Guaranteed. And here's $15,000 in the bank that even if it falls apart, I'll give you 15 grand. What would you do? Well, the first thing, I can feel it in this church already. I feel it too. It's like, nothing can be that good. Show me such an investor. But you would invest. That's a great deal. You would do that. The Lord says, you know what? You have a great mind. You're analytical. You love numbers. And I've got a plan for that in my kingdom. And it may be an accountant at IBM. And you are to grow there. You are to be an evangelist. You're to be a Philip there. You may be a wonderful, loving mother or father, and you're home with your children. And God has gifted you and just caused your heart to just be enlarged for your children. God has given you that gift. Use it there. Use it to the fullest. But use it. The Lord promotes Philip and uses him beautifully in this ministry here. And so it says that in verse 5, then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Hearing and seeing the miracles. How do you hear a miracle? You might want to circle that in your Bible. It means that they heard the miraculous vocal gifts, teaching, preaching, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, tongue, interpretation of tongues, the vocal gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so, it says, verse 7, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. And it says that there was great joy in that city. Well, I better hope so. You want to know something about Samaria? Get this. You notice in your Bible how it says that he went down to Samaria. Samaria is north of Jerusalem. How do you go down? The word means down in elevation. Isn't that neat how accurate the Bible is? Down in elevation, down to Samaria. Why did Philip do that? Because you're not supposed to go to Samaria. It's the place that the Jews in Jerusalem considered dogs. Samaritans were people who were half-breeds. They were part Hebrew, part Gentile. And so the pure Jews called them dogs. You don't go. Remember when Jesus gave the parable, the story about the Good Samaritan? You and I don't understand the slap in the face that was to that culture. Nobody got near Samaritans. Samaritans were, you're not to know them. And when Jesus says, you know what? A priest walked by, a Levi, walked on the other side of that poor broken man. This guy walked by, that guy walked by, and then a Samaritan came. And everybody in the crowd would have went, ooh, Samaritan. Yeah. And then Jesus said, and he's the one that gave love and attention to that poor man who was wounded. And they went, oh, he shouldn't say that about Samaritans because that was a really nice thing that he just said about them. You see, that's the flavor that it took on in that crowd. I love John chapter 4. Jesus, it says in the scripture, must go down to Samaria. He must go to Samaria. Why? You're not supposed to go there if you're a Jew. And Jesus being a rabbi and all, why? Because the Lord is not a respecter of persons. I love God's sunglasses. You put God's sunglasses on and everybody is not black. Everybody is not white. Everybody is not red. Everybody is not brown. Everybody is not yellow. Everybody in God's glasses are saved or unsaved creations of His. And if we would ever wake up out of this ignorant stupidity that is satanic of racism and get smart, we would realize that the different colors that people have and the different hair natural styles or this or that or the other thing or facial features or any other feature is something that came about post-Genesis as man was brought into various places of this created world and have adapted to those environments. Has nothing to do with how somebody was created. All men, it says, were created equal. It's bizarre. It's naive. It's stupid to think, well, they're better or they're less. Absolutely not. God looks across humanity and He goes, I love them. And we say, which one? Which one? Who? And He says, them, all of the above. But you see, the Jews don't go talk to the Samaritans. So what does Jesus do? He goes down there. Why? Jesus had a date with somebody at a well. Remember the story? Jesus is there at the well, and this lady comes, and she's got her bucket of water, and he says, I'd like to have a drink. She goes, whoa, wait a minute. You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. We're not supposed to even talk. And what's insinuated in the Greek is that she begins to flirt with him. Can you imagine flirting with God? Hi. You know, behind him, he must have been going, if she only knew. And so he's sitting there and he says to her, do you have a husband? And she's got to be thinking, no, I don't. And he said, that's right, you don't. Her face probably kind of hesitated for a moment. And he said, in fact, the man that you're living with is not your husband. Now she's standing up straight. And he says, in fact, you've had 5 husbands. And the man that you're with is not your husband at all. And she said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Straightens up her act. He says, listen, if you knew who was talking to you right now, you would ask me for a drink of water. Well, you don't even have something to pull the water out of the well with. And he says, the water I give, you'll never thirst again. It's eternal water. It's forever water. It never stops. It's spiritual water. And what does she do? She runs back to her city in Samaria and tells the people, I have met a man who has told me everything about who I am. Is this not the Christ, the Messiah? They received him, even though they were half-breeds. They received him. Philip gets sent by the Holy Spirit down into this area because they are open and they're longing for the gospel, and they receive. And it says in verse 7, for unclean spirits crying out. The word means crying out is to shriek or to howl violently, wailing. They were given life as the spirits were leaving. These people were given life. They were made whole. Listen to this. My little daughter taught me a lesson this week that just blew my mind. I don't know about you, and it's cracked me up. We read Proverbs 30 this morning. Ants, not only this summer, as the scripture said there, are prolific. They have seemed to considered themselves invited to my house this summer. We've got ants everywhere. And I'm running out of diazinine and dynamite and everything else to get rid of these guys. And we get up this morning, and there they are. Well, she took a couple of days ago, she took an ant and she put him in the refrigerator. Put him in there and shut the door. And about 20 minutes went by. Opened the door, and that little guy was just totally mangled from the cold. He's just stiff as a board. She pulled him out, and he's just laying there. And he was even kind of almost crunchy. He was hard. And she goes, she's looking at him, and she goes, and she starts breathing on him. And the little guy's antenna starts moving, and she's breathing on him, and his leg starts moving, and the guy gets up, and he starts praising the Lord, and he starts jumping and leaping and praising God. And he came too, like cryogenics, boom, right there, back from the dead. And she goes, oh, wow, this is great, this is great. And I thought about that for a moment. John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They became born again in that moment.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Church on the Move. And it's our prayer and hope that you follow Christ and use the talents that He's given you wherever you go. A Church on the Move is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Stephen must have known in his heart that his salvation message would likely be rejected, but that didn't stop Stephen from sharing Christ to cynical ears. And it was Stephen's deep devotion to Christ that gave him peace during his last moments on earth. So if you desire peace in your heart, or you want to know Christ on a personal level, Pastor Jack offers some special devotions. A new one is offered once a week when you sign up for the Devotions newsletter, or you can download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and select the tab called Devotions. That's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Hey, Pastor Jack, I understand you're going to Israel, and for the first time in almost 20 years, you want to open the trip up to the Real Radio audience. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it is going to be our annual trip to Israel, and it all begins on March 24th to April 4th, 2019. I'm telling you, Israel in the springtime, there's nothing like it.
So what are the dates?
March 24th to April 4th in the spring of 2019.
So what will we be seeing?
We're going to be going, first of all, to amazing sights. Of course, imagine this, actually going to the Temple Mount area of Jerusalem, the focal point of news today. We're going to be going to the Galilee. We're going to have Bible studies in key locations. We're going to be going to spots where Jesus literally walked. It's going to be an amazing trip.
Awesome. Can't wait. I hear that you actually go to those locations. We get a chance to open our Bibles and really get into the scripture regarding that particular place.
Listen, your mind is going to be blown and so will your heart, because we're going to stand in the spot with Bible open, and we're going to be receiving Bible studies. We're going to be going through the Word together. My good friend Amir Serfateh is going to be joining me from Behold Israel, and we're going to have a trip of a lifetime. Listen, this will be our 17th trip to Israel, and I think you're going to benefit from the experience that we'll be bringing to you.
So tell me where I can get more information, would you?
Yeah, to do that, you would just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you can click on the banner right there labeled Israel 2019. Get more information by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org.
And just a quick update for you. As of last week, this trip is completely sold out. But if spots become available, there is a waiting list. If you'd like to get on that, go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Here at Real Radio, we understand the challenge of finding time to focus on studying God's Word. So we really think that you're going to love the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. It gives you a variety of resources right there at your fingertips to help you grow spiritually. You can also check out our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or go to YouTube and subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.